Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Fast am I, good evening at 5:10. This is update for Thursday, 22nd of September 2022 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news here on the Isle of Man. A background to that news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates. The newsmakers in person tonight. The Treasury Minister asked Tinballs for the cost of living cash. Taxi road death is a warning to road users. Air routes must be sustainable, says the airport director. Has Williston School been left behind? And old, young, babies, all about our population imbalance.
Man Benham, for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. First am I, Christian Jones.
First am I. Backbench MHK's ministers and members of Tynwald have been reacting to cost of living support that's been set out by the Treasury Minister during the extraordinary sitting of Tynwald. The former Treasury Minister, David Ashford, has described surging prices as a cost of living tsunami, whilst MHK Tim Glover says businesses are being pushed to their limit. Concerns have been raised after anti-vaccine demonstrators approached children outside school gates. Police say a protest organiser has been advised of the law, but they'll continue to show a presence at the school. And stages of the Chris Kelly Memorial Rally next weekend could be cancelled if volunteer numbers don't increase. That's according to the Chief Marshal of the event, who says they're in desperate need of assistance. More information on how to get involved can be found at manxradio.com. Turning to the international news, unions have criticised the new Health Secretary's plan to use volunteers to help prop up the NHS in England this winter. Therese Coffey has also promised £15 million to boost recruitment. Interest rates have been raised to 2.25%, the highest level in 13 years. Meanwhile, it's been confirmed April's rise in national insurance is being reversed, which the Chancellor claims will save 28 million people £330 a year. And Russia's foreign minister has told the UN security meeting that there's an attempt to impose a different narrative that his country is the origin of aggression in Ukraine. After his address, Sergei Lavrov left the room. Those are the update news headlines. Next at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goromaya, thank you, Christian. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, there's no wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is slight. And a dry evening in prospect with a light to moderate wind coming in from the north-northwest. Some late brightness possible. Then dry with clear spells overnight and down to 10 Celsius. For tomorrow, Jehenia, Friday, dry with sunny intervals, a light to moderate northwesterly, possibility of some passing showers late Friday afternoon. Top temperature 17, overnight minimum 9 into Jasan. Dry and sunny on Saturday with a light to moderate north-northeasterly, highest temperature 16 degrees. The sun sets tonight at 18 minutes past 7. High waters 28 minutes before 11 tonight. Low water overnight 10 past 5. Sunrise 5 past 7 tomorrow morning. The morning high water at 11 minutes past 11. Well, I can see some mist swirling around the mountain, but the matrix signs to the mountain at Sulby, Hilbury, Bagarrow and Ramsey are saying fine.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and see a range of products from windows to doors, mirrors to splashbacks. Manxglass.com.
The Treasury Minister has been asking Tynwald to support its measures to help people during the cost of living crisis in an extraordinary sitting. Dr. Alex Allenson, MHK, has been presenting the measures to members, which include loaning Manx Utilities £26 million to cap electricity prices to the end of March next year, a trial of £2 cap on bus fares, and accelerating an £8 million scheme to improve energy efficiency in the homes. Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK, Tim Glover says he broadly supports the moves but does want more detail.
Other areas needing attention, and again, we don't know the details, but it was alluded to by the minister, businesses, particularly small and niche operations. Yes, they will benefit from the electricity cap, but many need a great deal more than just this. Many have already cut their cloth as much as is possible. There's no cloth left. Already we've seen well-respected businesses close because they see no way forward. Already we've seen hours of opening slashed to help save on energy costs. Should be said this situation is also not helped by the current issues around recruitment in general. XRN, what help is being proposed for smaller businesses especially? Another question, how many of the recommendations made to Tynwald by the Poverty Committee have been actioned? Especially important now is potentially more people could face falling into poverty. I'm confident a fellow backbencher will speak in more detail on the Poverty Committee recommendations. Again touched on, but we need the detail, many people have health conditions such as heart or lung disease, which require a home to be constantly warm. Patients requiring oxygen treatment at home inevitably have a much higher electricity bill, and I know people using an oxygen machine at home can get discounts, but I have one constituent who wasn't aware of this. So can we create an awareness campaign for people who use more power due to health issues, and what help is out there for them?
The police officer who led the investigation into the death of Douglas woman Carolyn Buchan says the punishment for her killer received was dictated by current legislation. Yesterday, 66-year-old taxi driver David Evans was jailed for 3 years for causing the death of the 73-year-old by careless driving. He ran over her after dropping her off and then fled the scene. Detective Chief Inspector Mark Newey says Evans' actions should be a warning for other road users.
Nothing that the court can do or say is going to change the events. They're not going to bring back the loved ones. It is quite frustrating. I think the Deemster echoed it quite appropriately when he said that if this had been in the UK, the offence against public justice is life imprisonment, and we're looking at the maximum of 2 years. So, but then our laws are different to the UK, and it is what it is, and we have to accept that. I thought the Deemster summed up his interpretation of the case. I think he picked out the fact that there was no early guilty plea put in. He could have stopped at the scene on the night. He didn't have to drive off. And I think the Deemster saw through that. And like he explained, the sentencing guidelines and the starting points from the UK guidance, because we don't have any here, his hands were tied in respect of what he could do. And the sentence given to Mr. Evans was what he was able to administer in the circumstances.
David Evans had a choice to make. He could have stopped. He could have called for help. He could have acknowledged that he'd made a mistake at the time he'd made that mistake. He didn't, and he is now facing 3 years in prison. I mean, this must be a message to all motorists just to take more care on the island's roads.
Yes, if there's anything that can come from this, it's around other drivers. Obviously, I don't want to target taxi driver, because the vast majority of taxi drivers do a good job. They will help people, they will look after people, they'll go the extra mile for people. But again, people just need to be aware of their surroundings, what they're doing, take more care. And if something untoward does happen and it is an accident, then accidents happen. And just be honest and upfront about it, and do what you can to help people.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source. And Manx Radio's Update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
Fast to my good evening, 22 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock on Manx Radio. Some breaking news. Tynwald's unanimously backed measures hoping to support people during the cost of living crisis. We started with the story, and this is the update. The Treasury Minister, Dr. Allinson, has been presenting the measures to members, including loaning Manx Utilities £26 million, and, of course, the trial of the £2 gap on bus fares and that £8 million scheme to improve energy efficiency. But the measures have been unanimously backed. We'll have more in the news at 6 o'clock. The island's airport director says they mustn't oversubscribe what airlinks are available here, as doing so runs the risk of certain routes being lost. Following the announcement of a new Flybe route for the Isle of Man from next month, Gary Cobb says tentative talks have also taken place about another potential route in the future.
So we have conversations with lots of airlines, incumbent airlines here, and also airlines that are starting up. We have spoken to a startup airline that is interested in flying Blackpool, but that's still quite a way off as they go through all of becoming an AOC, which allows them to fly in the UK. So we are having those conversations. We're not anywhere near a point of being able to say it, but we continue to have conversations and we continue to investigate.
In terms of the consistency and the consistent level of service from the likes of Flybe and flights in general, how confident that you can sustain a good level of those during the winter period?
So the winter period is always a quieter period anyway. And that's, we see a lot of the impacts at Ronald's Way from other airports. So, for example, Manchester, Gatwick and Heathrow. So we're not immune to the issues they have. Aircraft will then pick up delays in those outstations and then bring them here. So I think we'll start to see much more stability in those airports, which will hopefully translate into much more stability here.
How, for the Isle of Man Airport, can you possibly help the situation by giving the Isle of Man maybe just a little bit more priority, a bit more of a fighting chance to make sure that it's not Isle of Man services that are necessarily disrupted?
So, unfortunately, those routes, airlines make money from those aircraft being in the air for a big period of time. So for us to have schedules that come in later in the day, that aircraft could have been in the air flying multiple sectors across Europe from 5-6 o'clock in the morning. So it will be, it's picking up those delays in those airports. So in terms of priority, there's very little we can do with that regard. Then EasyJet aren't going to just put one aircraft on the ground and not fly in the other sector for us. However, it's working with EasyJet too and others to try and understand what we can do to add some more resilience into the system.
Both Douglas North MHK say Williston Primary School has been left out as other schools around the island have received substantial investment over the years. David Ashford and John Wannenberg are now calling on the community to put pressure on the Education Department for funding. David Ashford.
Williston School has been a bit of a poor relation when it comes to other schools around the island in terms of infrastructure investment. The mobile classrooms that are on site have been there for over 40 years now, so I don't think anyone can claim that they're a temporary solution, because this has now got to be three generations of pupils that have gone through there, and it's about time that something much more fit for purpose was put on that site. The Minister for Education seemed very keen to try and help her. The Minister for Education is a former pupil of the school herself, so she understands the challenges and was keen to see what we could do. So I'm hopeful that we will make some progress. I think infrastructure underpins things. So if the infrastructure isn't right, the teachers don't have an environment that's conductive to teaching. And you can have the best teachers in the world, but if you don't give them the tools to do the job properly, then you're asking them to do things with their hands tied behind their back. And I think, you know, the key is to get the infrastructure right and give the teachers the best environment that we possibly can, so that they can give pupils the best education that they possibly can have.
Would you eventually like to see it get an existing building?
Well, of course. I mean, that's ultimately the end goal, that there's got to be some build on the site. And I think what we need to do, and I know the Department of Education in the past has been keen to do this, so I assume they still are, is looking at the entire infrastructure around our school stock. We've engaged with the Minister for Education. She seemed quite amenable, but, you know, I've always felt that Williston School's been a bit of a poor relation when you look at some of the investment that's gone on elsewhere in the island. Sometimes it's a lot easier with a new school to put the investment in early. Williston isn't a build like that. It's very limited in terms of what you can do internally. The school has done the best it can with the facilities it's got. It's, if you go into Williston School and you look at some of the things they've done, particularly one of the new environmental rooms they've put in there, it's absolutely amazing. So the school itself is trying its best. I think it's important that national government now steps up to the plate and provides the environment that the children need.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
17 minutes before 6, motorship Bat McCree departed Heysham at 27 minutes past 2. She should be into Douglas Bay any moment now and will be onto the link span at about 10 past 6. Departing Douglas this evening at 7:45, heading for Heysham, getting there about 11:30, and the overnight departure 2:15 a.m. from Lancashire, back to Douglas at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. The Fastcraft HSC Mananan departed Douglas at 9 minutes to 3. She should be on the link span in Liverpool about now, departing this evening at 7:15, back to Douglas at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow morning's departure from Douglas, 8:45, Ben McCree to Heysham.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Stages of the Chris Kelly Memorial Rally next weekend could be cancelled if volunteer numbers don't increase. Chief Marshal Mark Ellison says they're in desperate need of help.
Radio operators, we need about 35 to 40. We've got around about 30 at the moment, so that's not bad. But it's then timekeepers, and we've got a few of our key timekeepers, unfortunately, on holiday. We've got 11 different stages. On every stage, we have 8 timekeepers. So that's 88 timekeepers we need. Now, some of those will be doubling up, and some will do Friday afternoon, and some will do Friday afternoon and Friday evening and some will do Saturday. So we are short on every day, but really the other one that we're very short of are marshals. So we would need somewhere in the region, probably about 160 to 200 marshals to be comfortable. Less than that, our stages will be cancelled and we'll have to move the marshals from those stages to try and fulfil the obligations and the safety means that we need on the other stages. So we're about 50 to 60 marshals short at this point now. Got to admit, it's not for another week. As a chief marshal, you worry about it. Our last event in May had a considerable number of marshals and it was brilliant. But for some reason or other, we seem to be a bit slow on the marshal uptake. So what I'm asking is, can people please sign on?
Where can people find the forms to sign on? Is there a number for them to call?
We have 4 signing on sessions in Douglas at the Halewood Centre at the Grandstand. And they are actually tonight and again next Wednesday and next Thursday. And then the other one, that is a signing on at 11:30 to 3:30 at the Royal George in Ramsey. The reason we have that is that we have a number of stages in, for instance, of Mackled, Dreamscary, the Len, all up north. And of course, we have a town stage, which is the Ramsey Town stage. So currently we're very, very short of marshal for Ramsey Town. So if there's anybody who wants to give their time up, please come up.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 14 minutes before 6, the asset management business of HSBC set out plans to cut investments in thermal coal months after one of its former top execs caused a commotion with his comments about climate change. The investment division of the FTSE 100 bank gave a timetable for removing companies that make money from polluting fuel from its actively managed holdings by 2040. Its active fund managers will also stop investing in new bonds or the stock market flotations of companies that are expanding their thermal coal operations. To read the full Daily Market report, go to ramseycrookall.com. With international work trips making a comeback post-pandemic, more companies are scrapping their business class bookings for economy seats, mainly due to the cost. But 75% of airlines' profits are made from business class tickets, which now cost as much as double as what they used to pre-COVID. And during the pandemic, you may remember the Microsoft founder Bill Gates predicted 50% of business travel would disappear post-pandemic.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks traded lower as investors digested news from the US Federal Reserve. Oil rebounded and gold fell 1% as the US dollar rallied. The numbers now at the close in London. The FTSE 100 was down 1% at 7,159. In Frankfurt, the DAX closed down 1.75% at 12,539. Currently, New York City, the Dow Jones is down 0.25% at 30,095. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index is down 1.4% at 11,063. And the S&P 500 down 0.75% at 3,763. But the trading day goes on in the United States. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling trading at $1 12.7 cents and €1 14.6 cents. In commodities, gold down 0.1% at $1,671 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude is up 0.6% at $90.48.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, well, the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
If you have a news story for Manx Radio to investigate and report, email newsroom@manxradio.com or call 682 631 any time of day or night.
A statistician's issued a stark warning about the Isle of Man's growing population imbalance. Isle of Man Population Atlas author Paul Crane, MLC, says ageing residents, migration among young adults and a falling birth rate are all causing issues.
Unless there's movement into the island, unless there's an increase in births, the problem will increase in the years ahead, and therefore it is an issue that needs to be addressed.
Clearly, then, there's no quick fix to the problem, but would you see the fastest route to restoring this to a healthy balance is through a significant population increase?
We do need to have a significant change. You know, we're not going to solve this problem just by tweaking a few things here and there. So although over the last 40 years I've been studying the island's population, I've seen these proposals for large population growth, indeed the figure of 100,000 has come up now and again. I have tended to be opposed to that, my main concern being that if you have a period of growth of 1,000 people a year, what happens when you get to the end of it? You know, do you just then have economic recession when you try to reduce the growth or end the growth? However, in our current position, I would see the problems we have with the island's population profile are so significant that it would make sense to have a period of rebalancing where we're trying to bring in younger adults in particular, to bring in women of childbearing age, which sounds a terribly inhuman and impersonal way of saying it. You know, I'm hugely aware as a sort of demographer that this is about people, you know, it's not about statistics.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, good evening. The Isle of Man Special Olympics squad has taken two gold medals during the first day of international competition in Gibraltar. Yesterday saw the opening athletics events of the Special Olympics Gibraltar National Games 2022, which run from the 21st to the 23rd of September. The Manx squad went on to claim gold in the 4x100m relay. Meanwhile, Jamie Hardy went on to claim gold in the 200m, with Ethan Butler and Peter Taylor finishing 4th and 5th respectively. Hardy also took silver in the 100m contest, with Butler and Taylor respectively taking 5th and 6th spot. The football and bocce competitions are taking place throughout today. Manx athlete Mia Dunwell has secured top honours after a title-winning display at the English Schools Championships. Representing Isle of Man Schools, the Northern AC competitor won the senior girls' title in the 5,000m track walk during the event in Bedford at the weekend. She finished the event at a time of 27 minutes 39.95 seconds, 7.33 seconds clear of her nearest challenger in second, Abigail Smith of Kent. Fellow Manx athlete Tom Partington has also been singled out for praise after heading to Bedford last weekend to provide support. And in football, Onchan and Union Mills were the victorious sides as the start of the second round of fixtures of the Jackson's Isle of Man Under-18 League took place last night. Both teams made it two wins from two to at least temporarily go joint top of the Under-18 division, both on the same goal difference of plus four. Onchan secured 3 points and a clean sheet as they ran out 3-0 winners against Laxey A on Wednesday evening. Meanwhile, Union Mills also took victory by a 3-goal advantage with a 4-1 win over Corinthians. Elsewhere, there are four teams who've only played once so far: Braddon, Laxey B, Rushen United and Colby. They will all take part in their second games next Wednesday, the 28th of September, with Rushen United taking on Braddon and Laxey B facing Colby.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way, the 525 Loganair from Manchester came in 10 minutes late. Next inbound, the 528 Loganair patient transfer returning plane from Liverpool showing on time. The 8:05 Loganair from London City showing on time. And the 8:25 EasyJet from Gatwick showing on time. So outbound, we got the 6 o'clock Loganair to Liverpool. And then last outbound is the 9:05 EasyJet to London Gatwick. Still got those ongoing issues in Peel on the roads. The Proms closed from the Manx Utilities pumping station to Weatherglass Corner. There are temporary closures in Fages to the middle of April next year. Castle Street, Castle Town, one way northbound till the middle of April as well. In Laxey, a section of Ballarat Road opposite Minorca Hills closed for excavation work. In Port Erin, temporary lights on Bradder Road near the turn for Bradder Glen. They're doing some sewer work there. Mill Street in Castletown's closed for some gas main work, and in Ballasalla, temporary lights still there on the main road 24 hours a day for the final resurfacing of the new roundabout by the new housing estate. In Union Mills, temporary lights near the railway pub for water main repairs, and Mona Drive Douglas is closed for excavation work.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Well, it's closed now, but for 2 days this week, there was a government conference at the Villa Marina. It was billed as a chance for you, the public, to have your say about government policies. Sitting through the whole thing for Max Radio, Phil Gorn.
I think it's a great initiative. It's a really good idea. I think there were lots of details that will need a lot of work on. I mean, not least the target demographic. Effectively, the whole message of the conference is we need more young, economically active people on the Isle of Man. So you organise a conference which starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, finishes at 5 o'clock at night on a work day, which means that your target demographic can't attend. To be fair, I think most of the ministers I spoke to had already understood that that was an issue. But actually, the format of it was really good. There was opportunities for people to question from the floor. There was a relatively good turnout, considering this is the first time this has happened. There were possibly 300 to 400 people in the Royal Hall at the Villa Marina to hear the Chief Minister's opening address, varying numbers throughout the day for different parts of the conference. So I think the principle is good. Government is trying, clearly, to engage with the public. What we have to see now is how well has government listened to the comments that they received.
And did you get a sense of how the reaction from attendees was?
Yeah, I spoke to a number of people who weren't civil servants or paid to be there by their businesses. There were, a fair proportion of the people who attended were genuinely there because they were interested to know what was going on with the government. I think most people got something out of it. I think most people would say it's a good idea and we should do more of it. There may be a few questions about how it's pulled together and whether we needed to hear more voices than just the voices of people who are already signed up to government's ideas.
What do you know about what happens next?
Government is clear that it is going to collate all the information that they gathered during the session. This will help shape the report, which I think is going to Timwald in November.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Christian Jones, producer Amy Griffiths. I'm Andy Wint, back tomorrow night at 5:30. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
WINT